Today's scripture is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. And in your pew Bibles, it's found on page 174. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a mighty nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord.
It is time for us to hear God's word to us. Let's stand for the gospel. We've heard this before, but listen again, if you will. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Then Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every opportunity, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, happy Valentine's Day. And celebrations of the... Did you hear that the Broncos won the Super Bowl? Anybody hear that? A world champion football team. How about that? I have to make a confession. I didn't have 100% faith that they were going to win. And my faith in God is absolute. I have no question whatsoever. But the Broncos, I love the Broncos, and I knew that if they showed up in their perfect Bronco game, they'd have it made. A perfect game. How many of you can do something perfect? Kind of an interesting thing about that, isn't it? A friend of ours, Charlie Williams, we lost him maybe 5-8 years ago. Charlie was this old Texan fella, In his cowboy boots, he would hobble from place to place. His feet were just so bad, but never slowed him down. He never stopped. He just kept on going. But he said to me once, he says, there's only one perfect man. He died on the cross. He says, that's the only perfect one that's there. I believe, Charlie, I like that about him. Just that one perfect. So it reassures me a little bit about perfection, about those things. This is the first Sunday of Lent. Happy Lent. Did you get Lent presents for each other? No, no. 6 more weeks till Easter. Is that right, King? Easter's coming. We ready for Easter? Amen. Yeah. We're ready for Easter. We're ready to get down to there. Yeah, I can't believe it's coming that close. The word, the Greek, the origin of the word Lent is Lens in German. Who said they spoke fluent German? Oh, that was at the other church. Never mind. Lens means spring. We ready for spring? I hate to tell you, we got snow yet. We're going to have some more. We hope we do. We kind of need that. Pastor Burry Bessie was the associate pastor. She was in school, served with me with us in Johnstown before she went on to be in ministry. She's been all over now. But in her newsletter, she commented, she said, spring is time for house cleaning. This is a time to clean house and get ready and get back on course. Get back to the way things ought to be. Anybody like me have things that kind of need some house cleaning to be done there? How are we going to be about being perfectly on course? How far off can we be? I titled my sermon A Little Off. The guy that puts the marquee together at the other church says, it's about you, isn't it? I said, it's about you too, isn't it, Lee? It's about all of us, isn't it? Those of you that are perfect, go ahead and go to lunch. Because it doesn't... You know, nobody... Yeah. Hey, get out, sit down. King Harris getting up to walk out of me. Ugh. Please, Lord, help me. You varmint, you. How perfect do we have to be? I have to tell you a story. 1968. How many of you remember 1968? It was a rough year. We were in the middle of civil rights unrest. All kinds of things. Martin Luther King had been assassinated. It was a hard, painful year. But in December something happened that was amazing. You see, it was in the middle of the Cold War era. The Russians and the Americans, we were battling. We found these nuclear bombs and developed rockets so we could throw them at each other and blow each other up and blow up the whole world. Terrible race to build these missiles, but you can't. Those are top secret and you can't brag about them as much. So we could brag about the space race. You remember hearing about the space race? NASA? You heard of that, haven't you? Well, up to this point in time, every time we went to do something, who put the first satellite in space? Oh, no, doggone Russians. Who had the first man in space? Oh, doggone Russians. Who had the first dog in space? Women in space. Russians. Come on. First spacewalk. Russians. We were behind them just by months all the way through. Come December, though, we were behind on the lunar module. The thing that went down and landed on the moon, they didn't have it ready at Grumman. They were working on it, but it wasn't ready. They said, well, we're going to have to cancel the mission because it was to test the LEM in Earth's orbit, see if it worked. They said, but we got a spacecraft and a crew. You know what we could do? We could go and loop around the moon to see if we can get there and get back and all the communication works and we can actually make it happen. It was a wild idea. Apollo 8, Foreman, James Lovell, Bill Anders, Apollo 8, they left, for the first time in the history of humanity, left the gravity of good old terra firma Earth and became part of the gravitational attraction of another celestial body, the moon. Any idea how far the moon is away? It's not very far away. You can see it's about that big. Closer than Florida, right? You can't see Florida, can you? So it's got to be closer than Florida. How far away? Seriously. Somebody had said 300. Who's guessing? You said how much? 300,000? It's actually 238,900. Yeah, that's what I read somewhere. It's a little ways. It took them 3 days. And you know, when they took off to go there, they didn't go where the moon was because in 3 days it wasn't going to be there anymore. It was going to be over there. So they had to go where it was going to be. All right, they're rocket scientists. They figured it out. Pretty cool deal, though, right? You had to figure out just exactly how much push to leave Earth's orbit, and how long to push, and which direction exactly to push, because you're going to travel 238,900 miles. What if you were a little off? What if you were just a little bit off? How many degrees are there in a circle? 360. So what if you were off 1 degree? All right, here we go. This is a transit. It measures angles, and I'm going to measure a horizontal angle here. It's 80 feet from here to there. I came in and pasted it off earlier, so I'm a little ahead here. So it's 80 feet back to the back there. And if we deviate 1 degree away from King, we'll travel this way. Move over 1 degree's difference. Okay, I'm going to turn you 1 degree. You ready? Everybody watch the instrument here. You ready? There you go. Did you see it move? That was it, 1 degree. How much do you think the difference is at 80 feet away? Come on, you had trig. This is it. Huh? You flunked math off. The tangent of 1 degree is equal to x over 80. It comes out to 17 inches, 1 foot, 5 inches. That much. How many of you would think that 1 degree would throw you off that much? Well, there's good news and bad news. We could at least measure that. If you were headed for the moon at 238,900 miles, that's more than a foot. Let's see. Let me get my numbers here. They would be 1,261,392,000 feet off. 4,000 miles off at 1 degree. That isn't going to work. If you're off 4,000 miles this way, you're going to hit right in the middle of the moon. And that doesn't work very good. You've got to loop around it and get into orbit, right? And if you're off that way, you'll never see the moon. Interesting little facet, the way they traveled and the way the spacecraft was set up. In no part of the journey could they physically see the moon. They look out of their portals, and they never had a view of the moon. So when they would call Houston, they'd say, "How are we doing? Because we don't see it." And for 3 days, talk about having faith and whatever. But here's NASA, and they were using radar and all these things. Tell them if they're on course or not. Keep them traveling. What are you going to do? If you're off by 1 degree, even if in surveying you have degrees, and each degree is broken down into 60 minutes, and each minute is broken down into 60 seconds. So a 60th of a 60th of a degree. And they were doing calculations that were down there in the seconds, but still, if they were off just a little bit, you're going to miss, and it's not going to be a happy landing. What do you suppose they're going to do? Come on, this is rocket scientists. They figured it out. What would you do? You've launched now. You're probably close, and you might get lucky and be right on, but what are you going to do if you're off a little? You're going to have to correct it, but if you're still back here at 238,000, even correcting by 1 degree, you're still shooting in the dark, aren't you? What if you wait till you're halfway there? Now it's that 4,000 miles is only 2,000 mile error at 1 degree, you see? So your course might go like this a little, but you get there. That's actually how we drive down the road. If you ever watch it, if you ever followed somebody driving, they're getting there. I followed some people that did more like this, and that's a whole other story. That's about celebrating with too much vino, I think. So mid-course correction, that's the point of this. If we're a little off, then what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to correct things. We're going to have to do something different. You ever heard of Harold Kushner? He wrote Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? He wrote another book. It's called How Good Do You Have to Be? You know, here we are, we're all planning to go and meet St. Peter and be invited in, aren't we? Well, if you have to be perfect, I'm let out of that. The question is, how good do you have to be? At what point does it suddenly become, no, you're too far off? Well, see, it's about course correction again. How good do you have to be? How much is a little off? All of us are a little off. Not just mentally, which we know, but in our spiritual journey as Christians. Each of us is erring a little bit. We know it. Some of us have known some things in our past and corrected them. We've done a mid-course correction. Some of us have years ago said, well, that's just it. I'm going to be off that course. But maybe this is a day to relook at that and say, maybe my course is correctable. Maybe I'm not that far off course. How do we know if we're on course or not? Paul said in Hebrews, he said, look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We heard that, didn't we, as we were listening, that he shows us the path to walk and the way to go and the correct path without error. So we know what it looks like. We know where we're going. We have it all lined out for us. So now we have to back up and ask, how far off are we? Apollo 8, it was a big leap. I mean, traveling all that way. It's the first time we got ahead of the Russians, and at that point that we never fell behind them again. And yes, we landed on the moon despite many conspiracies. You might have heard, that's another story. But NASA was a little worried, because what if something goes wrong? You've now shot 12 minutes, the rocket rammed them out into space headed for the moon. 12 minutes thrust. That's a lot. Their push is only 15 minutes to get into orbit. So another 12, you're really flinging out into the outer netherland there, out in the dark reaches of space. What if you get out there and you say, okay, how are we doing on course? And your radio breaks. NASA can't radio up and say, well, the radar says you're off and you need to correct this way or that way. Well, you need to turn or you... NASA believes in backups. You've got to figure out a way to do it. How are you going to do it? You could use a compass, right? You could use a compass. Wait a minute. A compass only points to the north pole of the Earth. And it's way behind you somewhere. So a compass in space is about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. What are you going to do? They had what's called a gyroscope. You set up all your orientations and all this, and you spin that. Did you ever play with one of those as a kid? No matter how you turn around, the disc on itself will stay exactly where you put it, pretty much. It gradually drifts. So the very best machinery we could make, the very best, and they spent a lot on those gyroscopes. But even then, after a couple days, they'd be a little off. And we know what that does. A little off is not okay. So what are you going to do? James Lovell was the navigator for the crew. Apollo capsule has built into it a sextant. You've seen a sextant. You know, when he's sea ditties, you know, the sailors on there, and they go out and they measure the angle from the sun to the horizon and the stars, and they can figure out where they are on Earth. Well, you can also figure out where you are in space. And so Lovell would go down and he would measure the sets of stars at exactly in a given time, and he could tell where they were. And then he could tell if they were on course or a little off course. A little known fact, all of the navigators for all of the Apollo missions competed for how accurately they could come up with numbers that matched NASA's numbers. Fortunately, we never lost radio contact. But they were dead on every time. So even without any contact with Earth, they could still navigate by doing what? By looking up to the heavens. That's a pretty good model for Christians. That's a pretty good model for us God-fearing folks. Stop and look back up into the heavens and find where we are and where we're going. Are we a little off? Yes. I hate to tell you, we're all a little off. Your pastor is more off than some. You know that mentally now that you've met me and know me a little bit. But it keeps you guessing, doesn't it? But as we travel down the path, maybe we are all a little off, but as we get down the way, the perfecter shows us where we're headed, and we can stop and say, well, now I need to recorrect. That's what Lent is. That's where we are in this Lenten journey, is to stop. Where are we? Where are we going? And what is it that I need to do to correct? Amen?